Ladies and gentlemen, this is featuring Jeff Goldblum, featuring me, Tyler.
And featuring me, Janine Bray.
And featuring me, Austin Armstrong.
Perfect. Welcome back, guys. Hey, and happy No Recall Day.
Yay!
It's official. Yay. California is still Democratic.
I voted for... Who'd I vote for, Austin?
Kermit the Frog?
Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. Well, he was everybody's write-in backup choice, right?
Yeah,
exactly. With 12% of the vote, if it was a true recall, we might have had Kermit.
Yep.
There's a good chance.
Yeah.
I heard statistically that 48% of Californians did put Kermit as their write-in answer.
Yep. I heard myself statistically included. That 96% of Americans would prefer a frog over...
I heard that as well.
I would not be surprised by that at all, actually. Yeah, yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah.
If you follow me on Instagram, you know I do.
You know you follow yourself on Instagram? On Instagram?
No, you That's know healthy. I prefer a frog.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ah, yeah,
gotcha.
Big frog lady.
Yeah, big frog lady. That's what they call me.
Yep.
Well, we're back. We're happy to be back. We're a day late. We're probably a buck short in advertising now, mm-hmm. but...
Literally.
We are, yeah, literally, we are here. A big announcement this week. I don't know if you guys know, but you remember the movie Twins?
Yes, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito.
Yep.
Yeah, it's about me and Larissa. Hello.
Yep, they're making a sequel. That movie came out in 1988. They're officially making Triplets, the sequel. Danny DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger are back with now Tracy Morgan as their third brother.
Oh my gosh.
Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan is the third triplet in the newest. Supposedly they've been planning on this since 2012.
Wow.
They're finally announcing now and starting shooting in January 2022. Original director Ivan Reitman at the helm. They originally had Eddie Murphy cast as the third brother. And Eddie Murphy supposedly had an instrumental role in conceiving the idea for the sequel. But Coming to America 2, he is so booked up that he decided to drop out. And Tracy Morgan.
Wait, they're doing a Coming to America 2?
They already did it.
Oh, they did. It came out on Amazon. It was all right. It was a lot like Coming to America, but things were funnier in the 80s than they are now. It just didn't age as well.
That was the peak of his humor, too. His stand-up was
hot. You know, speaking of humor, Norm MacDonald died.
Turd Ferguson.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's an oversized hat. It's funny.
It's sad.
Yeah, it sucks.
61
or 62?
61, yeah.
Not old.
Not old.
Do we know cause of death?
Cancer.
Poor guy.
But he had a quote saying, like, if it's the cancer that kills me, it's not really the cancer that kills me, because when I die, the cancer dies too, and then it's a zero for zero or something like that.
Oh, that's a good, that's a pretty decent quote. Yeah. I like that.
Well, I'm going to quickly, in honor of Mr. Norm MacDonald, I'm going to give you a few of his funniest moments.
Oh, okay.
According to YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube's a pretty valid source.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
I get all my politics off YouTube.
I get all my frogs off YouTube.
And The Onion.
He was 61 years old.
Yeah. Too young.
Oh, here you go, Austin.
Oversized hat.
Here's his moment on SNL.
Celebrity Jeopardy.
Welcome back to Celebrity Jeopardy. Before we begin the Double Jeopardy round, I'd like to ask our contestants once again, please refrain from using ethnic slurs. That said, let's take a look at the scores. Sean Connery has set a new Jeopardy record with negative $230,000.
You think you're pretty smart, don't you, Trebek? What with your Dago mustache on your greasy hair?
Look, what did I just say about ethnic slurs?
Oh, man.
From third rock from the sun, French Stewart in second place with negative $17,000.
I'm a late bloomer, Alex, and in Double Jeopardy, I'm going to bloom.
Is that a young Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
Oh, that was
finally,
Jimmy Fallon.
Back again, Burt Reynolds in a commanding lead.
Here's
with
Norm.
$14.
Yeah. Hey, check out the podium. Look at this.
Mr. Reynolds has apparently changed his name to Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, that's right. Turd Ferguson. It's a funny name.
Great. Let's...
what's the Norm MacDonald movie with Chris Farley? And there's something about, oh my God, a Shanghai whore.
I don't know.
I don't know.
What's his famous? No, I'm thinking of one with David Spade. Maybe Norm Macdonald was in it too. Was Norm Macdonald the other lead?
Black Sheep.
It's like David Spade. Chris Farley has a scene in the Norm. It's called like Hard Day at Work or Monday Suck or something like that.
Hard Day at Work.
Monday Suck. Yeah. Tuesday Suck too. The sequel also featuring Norm Macdonald.
It's got Chris Farley and he's like, and I had my nose bit off by a Shanghai whore.
This sounds familiar.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, that's like not PC to say, but
nothing was.
They got
nothing
away with was. A lot more back then.
Let's look this
well,
up.
Well, here's
this movie Dirty called? Work.
Dirty Work.
Dirty yeah. Work. Monday oh, suck. That is Monday Suck.
Work is hard.
So here we go. One more for Norm. This is Norm Macdonald's extra dry moth joke. It's racked up over 1 million views. Okay. You ready for this?
Let's hear it.
Here's a moth joke from Norm, and then we'll move on. R.A.P. Norm.
I'm sitting with Norm Macdonald, and now not all your material comes from the news. Is that right? You know,
no, some of my material comes, my strongest material comes from real life.
Real life?
Like, for instance, today I was driving in a car. Mm-hmm. You were kind enough to bring a car to bring this old chunk of coal here to the studio.
We send cars for our guests, yes.
Yeah, so I got in it, and I get material that way, so my driver...
What do you mean? How do you get material that way? You get in the car, and what happens?
My driver tells me a joke.
The driver we sent to pick you up told you a joke.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell it now on the show.
Yeah, that's how I get a lot of my material.
Okay, why don't we just have him on next time?
No, wait till you hear me do it. So the guy, he goes, I'll be the guy.
Okay.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office.
Right. You are correct. A moth goes into a podiatrist's office, mm-hmm. and the podiatrist's office says, "What's the problem?" And the moth says, "What's the problem? Where do I begin, man?" He goes, "I go to work for Gregory Olenevich, and all day long I work." Honestly, Doc, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I don't even know if Gregory Olenevich knows. He only knows that he has power over me, and that seems to bring him happiness. But I don't know. I wake up in a malaise, and I walk here and there. And the podiatrist says, "Oh, yeah?" And the moth goes, "Yes." And he goes, "At night, I sometimes wake up and I turn to some old lady in my bed that's on my arm. A lady that I once loved, Doc. I don't know where to turn to. My youngest, Alexandria. She fell in the cold of last year. The cold took her down as it did many of us. And my other boy. And this is the hardest pill to swallow, Doc. My other boy, Gregorio Ivanilidovich. I no longer love him. As much as it pains me to say, when I look in his eyes, all I see is the same cowardice that I catch when I take a glimpse of my own face in the mirror. If only the cowardice was stronger, then perhaps I could bring myself to reach over to that cocked and loaded gun that lays on the bedside behind me. And in this hellish facade once
How long a
all,
drive was this? Do you live in the valley? Where do you live? Please, sorry.
He says, "Doc, sometimes I feel like a spider, even though I'm a moth, just barely hanging on to my web with an everlasting fire underneath me. I'm not feeling good." And so the doctor says, "Moth, man, you're troubled. But you should be seeing a psychiatrist. Why on earth did you come here?" And then the moth said, Because the light was on.
Wow.
R.I.P. Norm MacDonald.
R.I.P. That guy was a genius.
Oh, man. All right. You guys want to take a little trip into the vibe of the world, see what's going on?
Yeah.
Take a peek on the world at large.
I forgot we were doing a podcast, so I was just in.
We're just going to watch videos today.
Yeah.
It's Norm Day.
We did have an episode like that where we just listened to music.
We did. Somebody actually, somebody sent me a message through featuring Jeff Goldblum letting us know they enjoyed our Cyndi Lauper impression.
Oh, good.
All right. Vibe of the world, everybody. Here we go.
Go.
Starting off the day with a bang. They found a new type of fly. It's rainbow colored.
Oh, I know about this fly.
Yeah, it's rainbow colored, and it's from Australia, and they decided to name it. Australian entomologists announced they have named the fly species after RuPaul, the titan of drag queens.
Yes.
RuPaul is so influential now, he gets a fly named after him, a whole species.
So is it called a drag fly, or is it called a RuPaul
It's a RuPaul.
RuPaul. Oh, Ru.
Brian Lessard is the one who named him. He's known as Bri the Fly Guy in the scientific circles.
Bri the Fly Guy.
Yep. Nice. He decided to name it RuPaul after watching a whole lot of RuPaul's Drag Race while he was examining the specimen under the microscope.
So it's like, what's it look? It is like rainbowy colored.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, it's like
very trippy.
What's that called? Like the oil spill colors?
Iridescent?
Iridescent.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These species would have burnt and no one would have cared if I hadn't given them a name, he says. That's first up on my list. Actually, this one's kind of cool, too.
Let's hear it.
Us Californians at least know that there's been some pretty gnarly fires. Once again. Caldor fire. You see all this stuff about different devastation, but this person wrapped their entire house in aluminum foil, and it survived the fire.
What?
No way.
Fire ripped through this town, and this dude, before he evacuated, covered literally his whole house in aluminum foil. There's pictures of it here. And he survived the fire completely.
What?
Yeah. Quick thinking, crafty homeowner affixed material to the exterior of the cabin and effectively covered the entire structure and kept it from burning.
That could be $1 billion idea, right?
I know, right?
Aluminum slip covers for your house during a fire. Wow.
So, I guess the Forest Service in the U.S. has been using this specialized style for a long time to protect historic buildings. There's like a real market for this. FireZat is a company that produces fire-resistant foil that can cover your house. These are like real big ones. This guy like did it with aluminum foil, but the FireZat company actually provides this that you can buy. It's about $700 per roll.
It's probably a huge sheet, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
To cover a house.
It's probably like 30 feet wide.
Tyler loves aluminum.
He does.
I do.
He's obsessed with
I'm just everything aluminum.
Everything aluminum.
I like aluminum too.
Yeah. Why not, right?
It's light. It's strong.
It's light. It's strong. It's really effective with everything.
Works as a candy.
You can make helmets out of
it. Yeah, protect you from the aliens.
Yeah.
I'm watching a lot of X-Files too.
Nice.
Yeah, that's been good.
Oh, I love the X-Files. What's your favorite episode?
Well, I'm going back through them now, so I'm only in season 2.
Oh, it's like so good.
Yeah, it's
those,
so good.
Those haircuts.
Oh, man. And those in season 2.
Young Mulder looking fly. Oh,
he looks so good. He's got a little bit of like the fuzziness still up top. The like, I don't gel my hair at all. I just woke up like this look. It's good.
I was really surprised in, what was he in? Californication?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like how young he looked in that.
Well, I mean, I think he was preserved by, like, alcohol for a long time.
They, oh, gotcha.
But they, now he's not looking too hot, but Gillian Anderson still looks amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
Maybe the aliens got him. They're like, we're going to keep you guys around. You know too much.
It's possible. I mean, stuff's getting real. They got separated now in the seasons, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mulder and Scully work separately because the X-Files got closed, but he's still finding ways to...
In season 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I like the one where they pretend to be a suburban couple. Remember that one? That is like a shit monster that kills all the...
A shit monster.
Yeah.
There's some good ones.
They definitely stretched on that show a lot. I loved it.
Oh, they're all over the place.
All over the place.
The last one I was watching was like the military was cutting a piece of their brains out so they would never sleep again. So mm-hmm. they'd be more aggressive and like have a higher kill count in war. It was gnarly.
Dude, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was like way too on point. Yeah. It was a little scary. Anyway, deprived of work by COVID, prison escapee of 30 years goes back to jail willingly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I guess, again, Australia. So, Sydney police station, a 64-year-old fugitive on the run for 30 years moves back in. He originally got out of jail 30 years before with a hacksaw blade and bolt cutters. I don't know why they gave him that in jail. It seems like a bad idea. Yeah.
Someone he'd put it in a pie.
Yeah. Last name, Darko Desik is his name. He surrendered into the Sydney police station after living on beaches, being a handyman and such for 30 whole years, couch surfing and the like, because he said he can't find any cash in hand work anymore because of COVID, and he's just tired of not having a roof over his head. So he's back in jail to do another 7-year term.
What a life. Whoa.
I know, right?
He escaped for 30 years just to go back for 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I guess
his sentence must not have been that long.
He was in jail for marijuana and some other things, but he was supposed to be in jail for a long time at the time. Hmm. He was 35 when he escaped, so he's now 65 years old.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, actually, his sentence was only supposed to be... He served 13 months of his sentence before he escaped. He was born in Yugoslavia, actually. The reason he escaped is he was afraid he would be sent back to Yugoslavia, where he'd be put into the military, because he didn't do his military term, which is why he defected to Australia. Mm-hmm. Which is why his name's so cool, too.
Yeah.
Moving on. Here's a headline for you. The unhackable phone was given to prisoners in the Scottish government, which were immediately hacked and used to buy drugs. Yeah. So, due to COVID and people not being able to go and visit prisons... At the time, they were given, they got a contract from a company who was making an unhackable phone that can be super secure so the prisoners could talk to only a few contacts and, you know, like basically keep in touch with family, relatives, friends, etc. And the phones were given to 7,600 inmates and 728 of them were immediately hacked, put illegal SIM cards in, and then used to sell drugs throughout the prison and outside.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh.
They're very, very ingenious, the prison officer tells the news.
Whoa. Damn.
Yeah.
I have a vibe.
All right, what's your vibe?
It's like a crossover animal / vibe.
I love it.
Okay, let's hear it. It's 5 zebras have been on the run in Maryland for more than a week.
What?
Yeah. And so
they just can't catch them?
Yeah, I guess they can't catch them. It says, don't mistake them for escaped convicts in prison suits, but 5 zebras, yes, you read that correctly, zebras are on the loose in Maryland. Animal services officials in Prince George's County said Wednesday that 5 zebras escaped more than a week ago from a private farm near Belfield and Dooley Stations, blah, blah, wherever it was. And then the owner, who they didn't identify...
Wait, there's a private owner that owned these zebras?
Yeah. And so he's trying to lure them back with grain into a temporary corral, but the zebras aren't following him.
Well, yeah, they're eating grain all the time. You got to give something nicer.
They just, like, don't fucking care.
You got to give them that gum. What's that gum? It doesn't last very long.
Oh,
it's zebra gum, right?
Yeah, oh, that gum with the tattoo on your tongue or whatever.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he try that?
Wasn't it you who told me we had that gum? And you're like, I want to apply this idea to condoms. So there's a tattoo on your dick.
Yeah, of little dinosaurs and things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was my $1 million idea. Stripe. I do have a website for it.
Fruit Stripe. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to try to buy dickstripe.com right now. It's probably taken.
Dickstripe.
Please do it. Anyway, so zebras always lead to that. You know, zebras are really aggressive animals. And when they fight each other, they'll bite each other's butts with their, like, gnarly teeth and rip off chunks of each other's asses. Yeah, when they're fighting during mating season. That one's off the dome, everybody. I know that one.
Yeah. You do have a lot of those facts.
Yeah, you just chock full of animal weird sex and violence facts.
Yeah. Animal mating rituals, mostly, it seems like. Yeah,
it's
If we're going down the animal kick, I got some interesting animal stuff for you here.
Yeah, I have some more after you.
Lab-grown woolly mammoths could walk the Earth in 6 years if geneticists' new startup succeeds. Yeah. This is how Jurassic Park starts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So serial tech entrepreneur Ben Lamb reached out to Harvard geneticist George Church. They met in Boston. They talked about how much they love woolly mammoths. And now, here we go. They want to genetically engineer the endangered Asian elephant, woolly mammoth, to withstand Arctic temperatures and bring them back into the world.
Yeah.
Why? Nobody knows.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, for what purpose? We treat animals like shit anyway.
I think they're trying to do a live-action Ice Age, you know? Because Ray Romano is still going to do the voice, but they it's really expensive to, like, cover a regular elephant and all that first, so they're gonna... make some.
What animal is Ray Romano in it?
A woolly mammoth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They're going to make Ray Romano.
Yeah, his name's going to be Ray. Mammoth. The woolly mammoth.
They'll just CGI.
No,
his
it'll
mouth.
Be like in Tusk, the movie Tusk, where they kidnap a guy and they do body horror stuff to him to turn him into a walrus. It's the most terrifying movie I've ever
what?
Seen.
What?
That sounds horrible.
Listen, it's called Tusk because they amputate his legs from the knees down. Watch out, listeners. This is gross.
Yeah,
they
this is a graphic. Yeah. If you got young ones listening with you, first off, why? Jesus, what are you thinking? But second off, cover your ears, little ones, because I know you're probably in the car.
They sew his arms to his rib cage so that they're like little flippers. They amputate him from the knee down, and they take his tibia, and they drill holes inside where his front two teeth are, and they filed down his tibia to be like a tusk.
Just one?
Two of them, each
tusks.
Tibia.
Tusks.
Ugh. Yeah.
Did they sew his fingers together too, so it's more flippery?
They like sewed him inside some walrus skin, so it's like a hodgepodge of his own skin and walrus skin.
Oh God! Yeah,
it's the grossest thing ever.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
you find some great movies.
Yeah, you can catch that on Netflix, everybody.
I think you can on like Hulu or something.
Speaking of movies, how long till we get the tall guy?
Tall man.
It's in about 15 days, about 2 weeks.
Okay. We'll be ready.
I think it's like 13 days now. By the time this comes out, it'd be 12 days.
Yes.
So get ready for that review, everybody. That's going to be a big one.
Anyway, so Ray Romano's going to be a woolly mammoth.
Yes.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Everybody loves woolly mammoths.
Everybody loves woolly mammoths.
Mexico is going to give away the famous El Chapo safe house in a regional lottery.
The cocaine hippos.
Yep. There was a bathtub in it that El Chapo famously escaped into underground tunnels. They've cemented that over and put the bathtub back. But I guess, President Andres Manuel López Obrador has started a lottery of seized properties, including the house that they're putting up basically for sale in the neighborhood. It's valued at $183,000. Let's just go buy the El Chapo house, guys.
183,000 American?
I thought I read that wrong. So no, it's the house. It's,
well, I mean, it's technically like a foreclosure.
Yeah.
So it's going into like, it'll probably be in like a bidding war.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's try it. Let's do a field trip for the pod.
Yeah. You and Natalie are looking for a place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Austin could be called
guys,
El Chapo.
Look out. January 2022, we will be doing a tour of the El Chapo house live.
Yeah.
That'll be episode... probably 50 something by then.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It'll have to be on YouTube.
Yeah.
We'll finish up the vibe of the world here. Do you have more animal stuff for us?
I do, but do you want to finish up vibe of the world first?
Do you want to just move into animal stuff?
Yeah, I'll tell you about animals.
I mean, I can finish vibe of the world really fast. Ready?
Do it.
Here we go. Quickly. Very quickly. 2 years ago, a $4.8 million golden toilet was stolen from Blenheim Palace.
Blenheim.
Thank you. Blenheim Palace.
Blood.
They still have no idea who did it. Do you know the toilet's name?
No, was it...
good guess.
Was it a... Crapper?
No, it was America.
Oh.
Yeah.
America,
the toilet?
The toilet
was named America, a golden toilet. Blenheim. I've been outside of it.
So they could all shit on America?
Wait, I think I've been to Blenheim.
They've put out reward money and everything for it, and still to this day.
How did someone unhook that toilet and just walk out?
I don't know. It's like a fully hooked up, fully golden toilet.
It had to be like custodial
it's
staff.
It's not just the seat?
No, the whole thing. It's pure gold.
How can you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, you can build anything out of any metal.
Like no, that. Not that. I mean, how could you steal it?
Steal it is what you meant.
That would be heavy, too. That would be a heavy toilet. I mean, you just have to unhook it from the wall.
Yeah, but then you got to dolly it out. It's got to be more than one dude who did it.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a team.
You could put it on a dolly.
You guys, we got to get the team together.
Yeah, we got to get a team. We steal other golden toilets around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any, like, toilets made out of ivory or something? Or let's just steal, ivory or like, something?
Special toilets, yeah.
Like special toilets. Like an original crapper toilet?
Is that the one that talks?
No, the one we talked about a few weeks ago. The guy who invented the...
Oh, Thomas Crapper's toilet.
Thomas Crapper's?
Mm. Yeah.
One of his originals?
A Thomas Crapper exclusive, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Steal one of those manholes off covers off the street. we gotta start small.
Yeah. No, that's like a reasonable crime. And then I think we can get into that.
I could get arrested. And then, you know, give me, whatever, 5 years and... some type of European prison.
And we could still get you one of those Scottish hacked phones and you could still like call into the podcast every week.
Yeah, and my like little Nokia from 1999. Yeah,
that's pretty much what I have.
Just call in, you guys can voicemail record me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Finally, from Florida. Meat vending machine serves raw cuts and late night snacks.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, like literally it's called the Boozy Pig Butcher Shop and they have a 24-hour... refrigerated raw meat vending machine. It takes debit, credit, Apple Pay, or Google Pay. It's filled with quote unquote all kinds of stuff from raw meats such as bacon, pork, Italian sausages, and ground beef. It has different types of burger cuts and even steaks.
Wait, why do you want raw meat?
Sometimes you can get a Cuban sandwich.
Just raw?
You can't, like, I mean,
yeah.
You really can't go buy like cuts of meat late at night.
Yeah, I guess not.
I mean, Safeway, kind of. But they don't, maybe they don't have that.
Where is this again?
This is in Florida.
Of course.
Yep. <Yeah. laughs> They're hoping to get more in the Tampa Bay area. We'd love to see more of these around town and really expand our footprint.
Oh, God. I'm curious how many people get sick off that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's meant to go home and be cooked, but who knows how many people actually do that.
Tyler doesn't know because he's a vegetarian.
You guys eat raw ground beef.
I've heard. Yeah. That most people eat it cooked. But
I've had raw beef at a Asian restaurant.
That's tartar.
No, not tartar. Well, I've had raw reindeer. I've had reindeer tartar.
Yeah, they do horse, too, in some Japanese restaurants.
They'll, like, dry age it or something.
There's no... I was at, like, a...
Or cure it.
I was at, like, a Korean or Chinese restaurant, and we had raw beef. Like, it was...
Yeah, I mean, that's like a carpaccio.
Hey, look what we found. Yeah. It's about to go bad.
At an Italian place, carpaccio's just thinly sliced raw beef.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, they do something to it to make it so the bacteria is gone.
They cure it, I guess.
Yeah.
Little lemon.
Salt it, maybe. Lemon would kind of taste funny on beef.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't eat it.
Yeah.
Unless you're tricked into it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's been a few of those.
Okay, speaking of meat.
Yeah, let's get right on to animals.
The red panda.
Is it like ginger colored?
A.K.A. the lesser panda, the red bear cat, the red cat bear.
Wait, here we go.
The red cat bear.
Same animal music for you.
Animal music. Nice.
Is this animal-y?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Is it animal-y? Anyway, so there's
I feel like you could be part of a scene of Lion King.
There's a Himalayan red panda, and there's a Chinese red panda, and they diverged 0.22 million years ago. So they're not really related, but they're both red pandas. And
are they, like, regular panda-sized? Are they small? Extra large?
They're small. They're like a house cat.
And they're called pandas?
Yeah, but they're not actually related to pandas.
Oh.
Or bears.
But they call them a red cat panda bear?
Yeah. They're their own
Wait,
thing.
So what is this animal now?
It's a red panda.
It sounds like a raccoon and a koala made a baby. Yeah. And it's red.
And they have a really waddly gait because of their front legs are shorter than their back legs. So they walk
really
funny.
That's a good design. God.
Yeah.
Kind of like a duck walk.
Yeah. Like, and my favorite word is crepuscular. Do you guys know this word?
Crepuscular.
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 Yeah.
I clearly don't know this word.
It means...
Carpuscular?
Crepuscular.
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 Could you use it in a sentence?
It means being active at twilight.
Active at twilight.
Yeah. Like an active at dawn and dusk.
You know? Not necessarily nocturnal.
No.
But.
So fish are crepuscular.
Crepuscular. Deer are crepuscular. Active at twilight. Anyway, so red pandas are crepuscular and nocturnal.
Wow.
Yeah, because some animals are just nocturnal and they'll sleep through the sunsets and sunrises, you know?
But these guys party long and hard.
These guys party long and hard, and they sleep during the day.
And huh, they, sounds familiar.
They're arboreal. Yeah,
it's pretty much you.
No. They climb trees. Oh, dude,
they do look like a raccoon.
Yeah.
Like oh, a really wait, cute I raccoon have, fox.
I want to play their sound because they oh, do a special yeah, sound let's, during let's, mating season.
Let's get a sound in.
Like a weasel.
Can I just do it from here?
Sure, why
I
not?
I want one. Are they also part dolphin?
This is their mating call.
Wow. Yeah.
We're just hearing a bunch of these things.
Are these things endangered?
It's called a twittering, fucking? Tweeting, and whistling.
So. A twittering, a tweeting, and a whistling.
Yeah, a twittering and tweeting.
That was going to be the name of our folk album.
Mm-hmm. Twittering, tweeting, and whistling. Yeah. They're good. And they like to piss on things, you know. Like
they got a lot like in common cats. With you, Aust.
Yeah. It's true. They're not allowed to go to a Felton Music Hall. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. They're eaten by snow leopards and humans. Humans eat them.
Humans eat them?
Yeah, I guess so.
What kind of sick humans eat that cute thing?
Well, we eat cute things.
Yeah,
you,
I suppose.
You don't.
Yeah, you guys baby, eat bunnies baby and red cows pandas and
for $550.
Yeah.
Well, is there like a lot of them? But do they like breed them to eat?
I don't think there's a lot of them.
Oh no, it was a scam. It said they're illegal to buy.
But they eat a lot of bamboo. Sometimes they'll eat like rats and birds and eggs and flowers, but
it's just all over the place.
They huh? mostly eat bamboo.
They just eat whatever. They're like yeah. people. They just eat everything.
Yeah. They can't.
Taco Bell?
They can't digest cellulose.
Cellulose.
Yeah.
Isn't that like a fat?
Yeah. They have yeah. to eat a lot of bamboo to survive. Yeah.
So it's a very fibrous diet.
Yeah, lots of fiber. Yeah. And, you know, they're non-monogamous.
Non-monogamous.
They're non-monogamous. Yeah.
They're polypartiers.
Cellulose is it's like part of plant cell walls.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was wrong about the fat thing. But
so they don't eat green plant stuff. They eat like bamboo shoots the bamboo, and stuff yeah. like that.
Oh, so no leafy greens. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
interesting.
And then they're, you know, they're blind when they're babies, so they recognize their mom by their smell, like other animals.
Just like Austin, yeah.
Yeah, like Austin.
Run.
all his moms, they yeah. all have different smells.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, but they're tiny. They're like the size of a cat, and they're cute, and yeah. And that's mostly it about red pandas.
I loved it.
They're very cute.
They're very cute. They look like a little...
They're like a fox raccoon.
They look like an anime creature.
Yeah. I feel like they are in some animes, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen these things.
They kind of have a little bit of a lemur face going on, too.
I think their face is cuter than a lemur.
Oh, it is. Yeah, by yeah. far. They're much more teddy bear-y.
I feel like I should have had something a little more. Well, whatever. Doesn't matter now.
About our music?
Yeah, I could have done something a little cuter.
Yeah, that kind of sounded like it was from Mulan.
It was.
But it was a Chinese panda.
I know the right
come at me, Disney.
Yeah, come at me.
Where'd it go?
You have a what?
There it is.
There you go.
Well, there it is.
Background music. They seriously sound like dolphins. That's crazy.
Well, on that yeah. note, you guys want to take a quick little
commercial break?
Yeah, commercial break.
Money maker?
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Money maker break?
We'll be back soon. That was a wink. Again, you couldn't hear. That was a wink. Here we go.
And
we're back. Here we are.
Janine had to ride a red panda.
Yeah, she made that weird, like, yeah. noise and just, like, bailed out of the house.
She had a date with an Ewok in a movie theater.
Whatever. Yeah. We can finish strong. Just us boys now for the end here. So,
back to the original crew.
Speaking of animals, the Australian bandicoot, Crash.
Crash bandicoot?
The yeah. last of his kind.
Like, yeah, he's looks back like, from. Looks like a rat with long ears.
Yep. They're back from the brink of extinction.
Really?
Yep. They're a fall thmurry, a small furry marsupial that roam the grassy plains of Australia's Victoria state, has been brought back from the brink of extinction. They, had a bunch of non-native foxes in the area and feral cats, which completely devastated their numbers, brought it down to 150 total left in the world. And now, after 30 years of conservation efforts, they're at an estimated 1,500 bandicoots.
Wow, they've 100% more, 1,000% more?
Yep. This is the first time in Australian history they're able to change the status of an animal from extinct in the wild to endangered. Bandicoots started plunging in rates in the 1980s, given that 30-year thing, but through breeding programs and predator-free sites, protected by trained dogs, they are able to move the animals to fox-free islands, and it's official that the bandicoot is back, baby. Pretty rad.
Good for the bandicoot. You don't hear about that very much.
Seriously, right?
I mean, I feel like they're probably going to come out with another Crash Bandicoot for PS5, so they're trying to make a better thing.
No, it's definitely a PS5 exclusive, for sure.
Sony had a big 100%.
I mean, this is actually supposed to be part of a little segment that I like to call some uplifting shit. And I didn't choose any music for it.
Ooh, just take a guess.
Let's try is that uplifting enough? I feel like we can do better.
Yeah, we can probably do better.
Uplifting. I want something that just brings me, you know, I'm going to do something that uplifts me that might not uplift everybody. How about that?
Sure. Perfect.
Just my sort of uplifting. Because what I miss in California that sounds uplifting to me is a little bit of rain.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's this Twitter fingers.
Sure is. Uplifting news. So here, these articles, starting with the bandicoots, is just good stuff, because I feel like we get enough bad today, you know? So this segment's called Some Uplifting Shit. I'm just going to give you good news for the next few minutes. Nothing but good.
Okay.
Starting with the non-extinction of bandicoot and the upcoming Crash Bandicoot PS5 exclusive, which I'm sure is coming soon after. Beyond that, equal pay in sports. U.S. soccer officially offers identical contracts to both men and women's teams.
Still not very much
money.
For the
first time in history. Well, I mean, we got to get better at soccer.
Yeah.
But
true. Well, yeah, you look at Beckham and that was a really short uplifting song.
That was very short.
I feel like other countries pay them pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're the first country to offer the same pay for the same work.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. That's the uplifting part.
Nice. Yeah, it's good.
And they definitely make more than us. Keep it uplifting. Here's something interesting.
On the podcast or in
both. A fundamentally new way to freeze food can cut carbon emissions equal to 1 million cars getting off the road. So
wow.
I guess the way that they looked at freezing organs for transplant and stuff like that when they're moving them between hospitals, whatever, they're now looking at using, without having to change much about refrigeration devices, so they can put out a line of product that will do the same thing, refrigerate your food, which we've all gotten so used to, and freeze your food, but do so at such a low emission rate that if we all started doing it, we could cut the overall global emission and make the environment that much healthier very, very quickly.
What's the process?
The process, they're saying, is it's, well, similar to the way that they transport organs. So it's something about isochoric freezing is what they call it. It relies on storing foods in sealed, rigid containers made of hard plastic or metal. Those containers are then filled with a small amount of liquid. Whereas conventional freezing involves exposing food to freezing cold air, right?
Mm-hmm.
At sub-zero temperature. The new method doesn't really use ice specifically. So only 10% of the volume of water in their new freezer is actually frozen. And the pressure inside the chamber keeps the ice from expanding, like ice does as it freezes. It expands. So the energy savings you get is from not having to completely freeze foods anymore to keep them cold enough to retain their ability to be eaten later.
Gotcha. So they're going to be kept at a higher temperature.
Slightly, yes. Cold enough to be kept But tomatoes and berries wouldn't turn to mush in this method. Things like that you get in freezer over time as you thaw them out again. It's like where they've found that perfect temp where things keep, but they don't have to actually be completely frozen and exposed to air, which is causing a bunch of carbon emission because your freezer keeps kicking on. Yeah,
it runs all the time.
Yeah, just to keep things cold, 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 cold. So this could be a big game changer for the way that we refrigerate and freeze.
Well, it'll probably run less too because it's not trying to keep it as cold.
Exactly. It runs significantly less. So here's another fun one. The Lord of the Rings cast caught on to an Italian man who's decided he's just going to become a hobbit. Nicholas Gentile of Italy has, he's got the attention of Elijah Wood, among others, because he's an Italian pastry chef who dresses like a hobbit and has decided he bought 5 acres of land, or 2 hectares, as they call it, out in Italy. He dresses and acts as a hobbit, and he's creating his own shire. He is looking for basically help. He has over 100,000 followers on his Instagram page that are helping him turn his 5 acres into a miniature shire for him and his friends.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, even Billy Boyd, who played Pippin, the Scottish
shire,
actor.
The shire is a real place. You went there, didn't you?
I did. Well, the set, yes, is in New Zealand. But now he's wants a fully livable shire on his 5 acres for him and his friends.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. He decided that reading the books and
all his friends must be pretty short.
Not all of them. He says some of his friends are dwarfs and wizards.
So you just have to duck.
Yeah.
Okay.
The dwarfs will be fine.
Couple human friends too, I think, or elves.
Yeah, I guess at one point too, these friends said they walked for 300 kilometers to throw a ring into Mount Vesuvius.
Oh my god!
Yeah, they starting on August 27th. Lord of the Rings fans, variously dressed as an elf, a dwarf, a hobbit, a sorcerer, and various humans, walked 180 miles from Chieti to Naples, crossing mountains and rivers to throw the one ring into the crater of Mount Vesuvius. He said the journey was not just an extravagant walk. He wanted to send a message that Earth today is threatened by pollution and climate emergency, which our enemies are as fearsome as Sauron. So he's like the new Captain Planet, too.
He's like a Captain Planet hobbit.
Yeah.
Reincarnation.
We wanted to show that our land, like Tolkien's Middle Earth, must be saved and protected. Samwise Gamgee was quoted saying that he was amazed by their undertaking to throw the ring into Vesuvius. I know you walk for 300 kilometers to throw the ring into Vesuvius, Austin says. Into Vesuvius? This is an amazing thing. I don't know if the Italian mountains are Mordor, but all that effort and work is a wonderful thing. Yeah, and then they actually give you a place where you can send him money if you really wanted to. So once again, Italian man. His name is Nicholas Gentile. If you'd like to go on his Instagram page, you can work your way through to a place where you can donate to the real life Shire.
I would want to like make enough money to donate and go live there.
Right.
Sounds amazing.
And finally, uplifting news.
They've already done the walk.
Right. They've already done all the Hobbit stuff. Now it's just parties.
Now it's just parties and some wizard with a bunch of cool fireworks.
Really good food and parties all the time. Yeah. That's what Hobbits do.
Yeah. They drink, they party, and they sleep in their little holes.
Yeah. I mean, they're really nice holes.
They are. Circular doors? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally, in uplifting news, taking lessons from a sea slug. They have started to research the intelligence of one of the animal kingdom's simplest creatures, the sea slug, and they think they can use what the sea slug knows as a way to make AI smarter.
What?
I don't know if this is uplifting or this is going to start Skynet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like,
But they have found that the material that can mimic the sea slug's most essential intelligence features is actually a huge step towards building hardware that can make more efficient, reliable technology for self-driving cars, for surgical robots, for Skynet, for social media algorithms that will eventually lead to Skynet. The nice thing is, the end of your Mordo coil could be sooner than you think when the War of the Robots comes. I guess that's the other part.
That's the great part.
But the two main signs of intelligence that neuroscientists have learned from these sea slugs are habituation and sensitization. Habituation is getting used to a stimulus over time, such as tuning out noise or driving the same route. Sensitization is the exact opposite, which is reacting strongly to new stimulus. Both things sea slugs do, and not much else. So if they can find a way to mimic these in AI almost perfectly and then give it a task, say, you can cut out a lot of the other variables in completing that task by saying, this is the stimulus, this is the habitualization we need you to learn, and this is the stimulus we basically want you to cut out entirely or react negatively to, as in stomp the brakes, or don't eradicate human life.
Yeah. Yeah. That is just crazy how they can do that. So sea slugs are going to go extinct.
I don't know if they're like, they probably are cutting them up, huh? This is supposed to be uplifting.
How do you know what's going on inside?
Right? I don't know, you just watch them.
I guess they have a little, like, they're putting it on an underwater brain scan.
Yeah, a little slug scan instead of a CAT scan.
They're like, no, yeah, he's definitely smart.
Yep. that slug definitely knows how to deal with this bad stimuli, which is me poking it and cutting it in half.
Yeah, all that stuff makes you think about eating animals now. You're like, if a slug has that much intelligence.
Right. And finally, Kinder News, everybody. A short and sweet Kinder News today, but a Kinder News nonetheless. Eventually.
I'm still waiting for one to top that kid who drove his little sister, learned how to drive a car and drove his little sister to McDonald's.
Right? I mean,
that's like, that kid needs a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. No. I mean, that is hard to beat in an actual kid thing. I think Steve from last week had a really good talk.
Steve, that was a surprise. Yeah.
Yeah. It was feel good.
That was a surprise.
Steve might actually start a TV show where he teaches us all how to adult, because when he abandoned us so many years ago, we never actually recovered and learned how to balance checkbooks or, you know, like buy a home or survive.
These are APRs.
Anyway, here comes Kinder News.
Here comes the drop.
So today I just wanted to actually harken back to a much older Kinder News where we listened to Fen Rosenthal. She had her first debut song out.
She's a kid, isn't she?
Dinosaurs in Love.
Yeah, she's like a child.
Well, she's a little bit older now, but what I didn't realize is that one song that got famous by her turns out that she actually has a full album out and now a book. Fen Rosenthal is an author officially. She wrote Dinosaurs in Love, the book, and she has a full length EP called They're Awake, with the hit song on it, They're Awake. So I thought, Fen, as both.
How old is she now?
She was 3 or so when that happened. I think she's about 7 now.
And she's a published author.
She's a published author. She is an official musician with a fully recorded album and more music out, and works with her dad.
Wow.
Yeah, she's doing great. And in honor of Fen, I thought we'd hear her.
Hopefully the drugs use side of the music life is later.
Yeah. I mean, she probably eats a lot of Play-Doh.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought, you know, since Fen is doing good work, we would have a quick listen to They're Awake, the title song from the title album They're Awake by Fen Rosenthal. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's have a little listen.
I'm excited.
Back up.
Yes. It's actually produced pretty well.
Oh my god, they're napping in a plane. That way.
is hot. Yeah.
It's really echoing here. Okay. I'm coming to watch you.
How long is that song?
I think that was it. Is it not? Is there a drop?
Tigers in the forest roar. Tigers into a tree. Tigers in the forest roar.
I think we're actually listening to the whole EP now.
It's the entire album.
Tigers into a tree. Tigers in the war.
Tigers something to
tigers, tigers in the war.
Oh, that was kind of a dark song.
That was called Tigers in the War. Oh man, they're still going. They got more.
Zebras.
Came at me and you.
Maybe zebras and you going to see you.
Zebras in the palace.
Wow, that's a good one.
Going to see us.
I'm kind of into this
the
album.
Open space. Everyone is on the pond. You are not afraid. Zebras in the zoo. Him and me and you. Zebras in the palace.
I'm curious who's doing backup vocals.
I think it's all her. It's all yeah, her. Even the piano and everything.
Wow. Like, it just keeps going.
I'll cut it if you want, but if you just want to kind of ride it out, it's like a minute more.
Yeah, I'm down.
Like an Elton John song.
Yeah.
Has the dad in the background cueing him?
Yeah. A solid album, honestly.
I feel like it wouldn't be a bad idea for even, you know, this local band that I know to do it, that entire mashup.
Yeah, I think that would be a worthwhile cover series, just a whole series.
I really like it.
Yeah, why not, right? Just get it.
Just get it. I wonder how much of the writing she does, or if it's all dad.
No, she does all the lyrics herself, and dad basically...
No, I know this kid.
Yeah, I thought I'd end Kinder News today with the apparently kid.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, apparently. Remember him? So, probably one of the greatest Kinder News interviews of all time, yeah. So I don't think it needs any introduction. I'm just going to let it roll.
Yeah, just let it ride.
Apparently... this kid.
One second. What did you think about the ride?
It was great. And apparently, I've never been on live television before, but apparently sometimes I don't watch the news because I'm a kid, and apparently every time, apparently Grandpa just gives me a remote after we watch the Powerball.
It's the Powerball. Tell me about the ride. What did you think about the ride?
Well, it was great.
Why?
Because apparently you're spinning around, and apparently every time you get dizzy.
Yeah.
That's all you do is get dizzy.
Is it fun?
Yeah. And I've never, ever been on live television. I never, ever be on live on television.
Are you excited?
Yeah, and apparently I already went down the super slide. When I went down the one, I was scared half to death. I just freak out.
Okay.
Right. What? I need his name.
Hi, honey.
Hold on. Yep, hold on. I'm just going to ask him. What's his name?
Noah.
Noah, what's your last name?
Deck. Ritter.
How do you spell his last name?
Ritter, R-I-T-T-E-R.
Okay, where are you guys from?
Wilkes-Barre.
All right, good buddy. Good stuff. Have fun.
Thank you, apparently, kids.
Oh, my gosh. I'm pretty sure he was on Ellen DeGeneres a bunch.
I mean, this kid blew up. I want to see, where's apparently kid now? Do you know?
I have no idea. I know he went on Ellen like 2 or 3 times.
How old is this kid?
And Ellen took him out to do other things, apparently.
Apparently kid, oh, ooh, boy.
He's definitely been eating well.
Oh, boy. yeah.
Apparently kid. Noah Ritter.
Noah Ritter has an Instagram. He's pretty much just living his childhood dream, although he is clearly much, much older now. I think Ellen was the top of his career.
He just kind of took that money and ran with it to other amusement parks.
Yeah.
Perhaps he won the Powerball with Grandpa.
What happened to the apparently kid?
It's the apparently kid. I just want to say, disclaimer, this channel...
The world is wondering, what happened to Noah Ritter? Ever since his rise to fame on The Ellen Show, fans have been wondering if Noah Ritter is still on social media. Noah Ritter was debatably the funniest guest that has ever been on Ellen. It's a little odd that he has disappeared ever since he got his fame. Even during one of his interviews on Ellen, he mentioned that he made a YouTube channel. It seemed like he was ready to become a YouTuber and become a big name celebrity. So he explained what happened to Noah Ritter, where he went, and what he's up to in this video. Noah Ritter didn't really capitalize on the opportunity that Ellen gave him. But I mean, Noah was very young at the time and was just having fun, so you can't really blame him. With that being said, it would be a lie if we said Noah just turned back into a normal kid. Despite not being talked about throughout the world like he once was, Noah is still actually doing well for himself. He can sometimes be found on a TV show, Toy Box. On Toy Box, contestants pitch their ideas for new toys to a panel of industry experts. However, the catch is that the contestants also have to pitch their toy ideas to a panel of child judges as well. Ritter is one of those judges that appears on the show, adding his humor and charm to the show. He is still the same lovable little kid that appeared in that viral video and on Ellen several years ago, and has not lost any of his humor.
Back of my hand. It's like I know where I got the scar. Treadmill accident. How much money would I have to save to buy this toy?
$59.99
every day.
As you guys can tell, Noah grew up a lot. What did you expect, though? He wasn't going to remain the little kid that he once was on The Ellen Show. With that being said, he has matured greatly, but his hilarious personality is still there.
Have you noticed this guy says, with that being said, a lot?
Yeah.
Like, the apparently kid says, apparently!
Apparently, like, Noah's doing this guy's well.
Like, that being said, obviously he's not a little kid. That being said, he might be an adult. That being said, he's not quite an adult.
It's like, oh my gosh. He's like Ice-T on CSI.
All right, so what we did learn from that little piece of trivia is that there's a show called The Toy Box.
The Toy Box, where kids pitch toys and adults pitch toys.
Yeah, it's like the Shark Tank, and the kids are the rich people who want to buy the toys, and the adults have to pitch toys to the kids to see if the kids would buy them, and then I'm assuming the parents have to pitch the money out to actually make the toys a reality?
I would imagine.
Or the show does?
Or like the industry will be like, well, most kids liked it. Might as well give it a try.
Yeah. I mean, now I have to look up the Toy Box.
Yeah. I mean, where he's from East Coast, right?
New Jersey, I think he said.
So it's got to be an American television show.
Yeah. We're going to have to look up the Toy Box now. Well, anyway, I think we should wind down for the day on that. Everybody, check out the Toy Box for one thing. We're going to, for sure. I'll do a review next week on the hit television series
right
I've never heard
see
of.
See if I can stream it somewhere.
Toy Box is going down. Everybody, this has been featuring Jeff Goldblum. It was featuring me. I was featuring Janine briefly for the first half of the episode.
She had a hot date. I mean,
as always, featuring you.
Yeah, Austin.
There is.
The Armstrong.
It's been you know, we're really sorry it's a day late, but we're really glad we got to it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes we actually have personal lives, too.
Yeah, we had to vote. We had to see Gary Clark Jr. play live.
Yeah.
We had to sleep off a hangover. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. There was a lot going on.
Yeah. Austin was camping.
I was camping. On a farm.
Anyway, everybody, have a lovely evening. Thank you for voting. Those of you that did, I'm assuming most of you listeners are active in our community, and we appreciate it. So, we'll see you next week. Wednesday this time.
Yeah, hopefully.
On Featuring Jeff Goldblum.
Hopefully, unless we have the Tommy Iago show next week.
We don't.
Okay. Kind of bummed we didn't go tonight, because tonight was the
Steely Dan
cover night. Yeah. There's still tickets. It starts at 8:30.
You want to drive all the way to Oakland right now?
I would. It's $25. $26, actually.
Yeah, but then drive all the way back.
It'll happen again.
Yeah, I think we gotta.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyways, thanks for listening. We'll hopefully talk to you next week. Huh?
Did you hear that noise?
That was me. That was me. That was my sushi lunch coming to fruition. Yeah.
It's just like wiggled right out of you.
Or I have a red panda instead of you.
There sure. You go. Yeah. It was actually pretty good.
Oh, God, I want one of those. Yeah. So I guess I'll. Yeah, we'll be in touch about it next week, I guess. Something. Yeah, might be camping.
Of course you will.